This is the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker, sharing real-life stories and experiences. Why Your Story is produced by SVI Media and available on Podbean, svinews.com, and the SVI News app. And now, from the SVI Media Studios located in scenic Star Valley, Wyoming, here's Travis and Mary Jo with the Why Your Story podcast.
Welcome to our first ever Why Your Story podcast. I'm Travis Osmond.
And I'm Mary Jo Parker.
And we're coming to you from beautiful Afton, Wyoming, and we're happy to be here. Let's kick it right off. We're going to start with the first podcast, and we're going to title it Travel Tips, Do's and Don'ts.
Sounds good.
MJ, we've done a little bit of traveling between ourselves, haven't we?
We have. I've done a lot.
You know, I was on my first airplane when I was 7 days old.
Really?
How about you?
I was probably four.
4 days old?
No, I was 4 years old. Oh. No, actually, I was younger. I was two.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Well, let's launch right into it. Why don't you start us off with something?
The way y'all get the winter blues. Some people get the winter blues the opposite way of we do here, where it's all cold and snowy, but you know they're in the sunshine and they want to go someplace cold and snowy like us. But I used to work for the airlines, and there's a lot of crazy things people do. Did you ever see that Saturday Night Live skit, liquids versus gels?
No, but I've had several people tell me about it. I hear it's pretty funny.
It is so funny. And it's interesting. What is a gel, and what is a liquid, and what is a solid? So I'm going to ask you, what is milk a liquid?
I would say milk is a liquid.
Milk is a liquid, and if you're you have a baby, you can bring milk. What about hummus and crackers?
I would say you're probably pretty safe with hummus and crackers.
You are, because the deal is if you drop it on the floor and it doesn't jiggle around, then it's a solid.
Oh, well, that's good to know. So I had no idea.
But it depends upon your TSA people. Some people are really picky. What about butter?
Oh, boy. Butter could be liquid or a solid.
I know. And I don't know the answer. All I know is one day I was cleaning out the back of the seat back of the seats in front of you on the airplane.
Yeah.
And I reached in and I had my gloves on and something oozed between my fingers. And I thought at first it was a poopy diaper and I was like, oh. But it was a cube of butter. So apparently those people could bring on a cube of butter.
Maybe we need to ask the airlines, does it depend if it's a liquid or a solid at a certain temperature?
That's true. I don't know.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. What about mascara?
I would say you could bring all the mascara you want.
It's a liquid. So you can only bring 3.4 ounces.
You're kidding.
In your little Ziploc bag.
Do they make containers that are bigger than 3.4 ounces for mascara?
I don't know.
I would love to see that if they do.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Huh. I hadn't thought of that. What about your favorite shampoo that is in a large container?
Absolutely not.
That's right. You got to get those little suckers down.
I have much experience with this. So my wife calls it the Osmond paranoia at the airport. So when I when I go to the airport, I want to be there at least 2.5 hours early. I want to be in my pajamas with slip-on slippers. And I meticulously go through my wife's carry-on to make sure that there is nothing bigger than 3.4 ounces of liquid. Because if they're going to pull someone into a room and frisky, it's going to be me.
That's probably true.
I have been naked in front of many TSA agents.
Oh my gosh.
I just must have that face.
Not the body.
That's true.
What about like a can of Coke?
Well, no, you cannot get, right? You can't get through security with a can of Coke.
No, but you can in other countries. You can carry your can through the screening, the little beepy thing. You can carry it right on through. So
You're
other
kidding.
Countries will let you carry certain things. It's just, and other countries are even stricter than here. So
why is that? So TSA, if anybody's out there listening, you need to set this straight. Why can I go through TSA in
Italy?
With a can of Coke and not here in America? Because I know you can't here in America.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Is Coke explosive or anything that you know of?
Hmm.
Well, see, here's the thing.
You can fry bacon in Coke.
I've heard that you can, like, drop a penny in Coke,
mm-hmm.
and it shines it really well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is, why can you not go through TSA with a can of Coke, and yet when you get on the other side of TSA, you can buy a can of Coke at the airport store and then walk onto the plane with a can of Coke?
Exactly.
What's the difference between an outside Coke and an inside Coke?
That's a good question. We need to.
No, I really think someone needs to answer that for me, because I bet there's a lot of listeners out there that really want to know the difference between airport Coca-Cola and the rest of the world Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I agree.
Or Dr. Pepper, or whether it be Sprite or Fresca or Grandma's Tab.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I'm curious to know that. So we need to figure that out. What else can we talk about on the airport tips, do's and don'ts? I'm here to tell you, belt buckles.
Oh, yeah.
A big problem in airports.
They are. They are.
And anyone that walks into the TSA line with a belt buckle, there's already a target on your head.
Mm-hmm.
You will get pulled into a room.
Yeah.
So I have a funny story about an airport TSA encounter.
Okay.
So we were... well, I have two. So we were actually heading to meet my family. We were going somewhere. I don't remember. But my brothers and I had just been on a deer hunt. It was the fall. We had been deer hunting. We had having a good time. We had packed and we had gone up and stayed in a tent. Anyway, no big deal. Anyway, we're getting ready to go through the TSA line. And I just thought, well, I better just check my baggage one more time. And I started digging through there. And oh, my word. Bullets.
Bullets.
I had bullets in my carry-on. And I was like two away from going to show them my driver's license and my ticket, you know. So, of course, my face probably showed everything. And I looked up at the TSA agent and we locked eyes. and he sees me bow out of the line. Well, apparently they're trained in all these techniques to look for people that look suspicious, and I probably looked really suspicious. So what do you do when you're at the airport and you have bullets in your carry-on?
Well, I would back up and then go dump them in a dumpster.
Okay, so I thought, I'm in big trouble here. I'm at an airport. And so I was walking around my family. I left my family, and I'm walking around thinking, you know, do I just go in the bathroom and dump them in the garbage can? What do I do? And so there was two of them, and I walked outside of the airport, and they had these plants in these grower boxes.
Yeah.
So I planted the bullets. and I just dug a little hole in the plant and put the two bullets in there, and went back in line and got through TSA. Of course, they pulled me into the room like they usually do and stripped me and searched me, and I came up clean, but... The funny story is, we were actually going to Florida. We were going to Florida for something my dad was doing at Disney World. Anyway, we came back, and I just thought, I'm just going to see if those bullets are still there. Lo and behold, they were still there.
Oh, my heck.
When I got home.
That is funny. Wow. Yeah, wow.
Good story.
I always get checked. If you have fake knees or fake hips or whatever, you're going to scan, you know, beep. And so I just always get searched, and I just usually stand there and buck it up. I mean, it's interesting, too, because some people are really like, you know, they really are searching, and then other people are like, eh, whatever. But one time in Jackson Airport, the guy that was over the TSA had me, although in Jackson it's not TSA, it's private. There's three airports in the U.S. that are private, not really TSA, and Jackson's one of them. But the gentleman that was over him had me... put bomb parts in my clothes, and because we were always flying out and going to Salt Lake, and everybody knows everybody there, and he's like, I just want to see if my people can catch you. Well, I'm like sweating bullets. I mean, I'm just like thinking, oh my heck, what's going to happen? And I go through, and they immediately shut everything down. Like doors are coming down, things are beeping. Everybody that didn't know that I was a plant was like looking at me like I was going to blow up the building. It was horrible. And then they pull out the wire and they pull out the clay. And I mean, it was like the whole thing. It was crazy. And I told him I would never do that again because.
Good grief.
It was crazy.
Oh my heavens. So are there things in your experience that you should say or things you should not say?
Yeah.
Because it's always my, idea, my thinking to joke with people as I'm going through TSA, you know, but there's probably things that you shouldn't be saying to your TSA agents.
Yeah, they are not very funny people. I'm sorry, TSA people.
No sense of humor.
They just are not. And so don't say the word bomb. That will again, all the alarms will go off and you will be pulled aside. And don't even be kidding. You know, don't say bomb diddy. Just no bomb. No, don't say that word.
Don't say the B word.
No B word.
What about hijack? Do you say hijack?
I wouldn't say that word either. Okay. Yeah, and I just wouldn't give them any trouble because, you know, there was one time I had a lady that we used to have Brasilias that flew into Jackson, these little tiny 30-seaters, and they were great planes to land in a blizzard. They were just these little metal planes, but you couldn't bring your luggage. So either the people came or the luggage came, but both didn't come because it would weigh it down. So I had this lady, and her luggage didn't make it along with 29 other people. So they're all lined up in front of me, and I was at the gate, you know, taking their claim down, and she butted in front of everybody, and she said, excuse me. My bag is not here. And I said, I'm sorry. And she said, no, you don't understand. My cashmere sweater, all of my things for my honeymoon are in it. And so I piped up being a smart aleck and said, well, I don't know about you, but on my honeymoon, I just didn't wear anything. She grabbed my lanyard, pulled me forward, and started screaming. Well, there was a cop right there. He took her to the ground.
Oh, my poor heavens. Lady.
And she was not allowed to fly back. I don't know how they got home.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, you just don't mess around. You don't.
My heavens.
It was crazy.
Well, speaking of not showing up with your baggage, that seems to be quite a hit nowadays when you get to an airport and your luggage is not with you.
That's true.
Is there anything that people do nowadays to make sure that's doesn't happen? Or are there things you can do to make sure that doesn't happen?
I think put your ID in everything. If you have a backpack, a carry-on, your suitcase, have a copy of your passport if you're going out of the country. That way, if your passport's stolen, you've got a copy and, you know, you can get home a little easier. So that's what I would suggest, is have your name on everything. There's a million black bags out there. Do something different with your black bag. Yeah. Put a sticker or something. Yarn.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Huh. Interesting. So I have another story.
Okay. And I like your stories.
Yeah. This one is funny now that it's been like 10 years later, but when I was in the heat of it, I was not impressed. But again, hunting trip. Mm-hmm. My wife and I are going up to Canada to hunt moose. And cool. We were invited by a friend of ours, and we're at the Salt Lake Airport. We're getting ready to go, and I had this really nice gun case that was TSA approved, you know, and had the neat locks on it and stuff. Well, anyway, the friend of mine, for some reason, he had a military passport, and his passport was not letting him through for some reason. I don't know that he had to get some things checked out. Well, he was gonna miss the plane, so he was like, Travis, let me put my gun in your case and we'll just ship everything with you to Canada, and then I might even have to drive up to Canada. I don't know. So I'm like, yeah, no problem. So we open up my gun case. It was a two-gun case, so my gun was in there, he put his rifle in there, and then he put a pistol in my gun case, and we shut the gun case and away we went. No big deal. Checked it. We're in route. So anyway, we land in Canada, and I don't remember what, I've tried to forget this, but anyway, we land in Canada, and of course you get the declaration card.
Right.
And it asks you, are you bringing any weapons? Yes. If so, what are they? And I've got this rifle, and I've got this pistol. Well, anybody that would know anything about Canada would realize that you cannot bring a pistol into Canada.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. So anyway, I declared it like a good little kid I am. And I walked up to the big Canada guy in the desk.
Big Canada.
He was a big dude.
The Mountie.
He had the Mountie.
The Mountie.
The Royal Mountie. And I gave him my thing, and he looks up at me like, you have a pistol? And I said, yes. And he circles this big red thing on this thing, and he puts a check mark by it, and he says, it's a good thing you declared it. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I declared it too. So he's like, you'll have to come with me. So my wife's there, and my wife says, well, can I come with you? No, ma'am, you stay here.
Oh, no.
So they lead me down into the dungeon.
Oh, no.
You didn't realize airports have dungeons, but this one had a dungeon.
Oh,
and it was a cell block.
No.
And it had bars, and it had this bulletproof glass. Anyway, I sat there for like literally 5 hours before anybody came and told me what was going on.
Oh, my heck.
And then they came in. This guy came in. And he's like, hey, you cannot have a pistol in Canada. It is a royal offense, however you say it up there. And so anyway, they got my carry-on, they brought it down, and they're like, is this your pistol? And I said, it's not mine,
it's
my friend's, which just made it worse and worse and worse. Anyway, it was just, I got so deep. So anyway, it was Vancouver. That's where we landed. It was in Vancouver.
I've been there before.
Yeah. So apparently, though, in Vancouver, there's an American side of the airport and a Canadian side of the airport.
Oh, okay.
So the Canadians sat there and interrogated me forever. I'm not lying to you. Ever. They finally let my wife in there with me. And by the time my wife got in there, I had run out of my crazy pills. So my anxiety is going nuts. And I was just beside myself. They opened my case, and they were like handling this pistol like, you know, none of them had ever seen a pistol before, like it was going to blow up on them. And I said to the guy, do you want me to show you how to operate that? And he looked at me like he was going to shoot me in the head.
Oh, no, you didn't say that.
I did.
Oh.
Anyway, so here comes the Americans. They go and they grab a couple Americans, and I'm like, hey, I'm just this kid from Wyoming. I didn't realize that I can't bring a gun. It's my friends. He's driving. He wasn't able to get in there, blah, 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 blah. He's like, I'll tell you what. We'll just hang on to this for you. You go on your moose hunt, no problem. I'm like, thank you. God bless America, you know, for heaven's sakes. So anyway, the U.S. guy signs a paper, takes it back to the U.S. part of the airport, and we hop on another flight and go up to northern Canada. All is well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until we get back to Vancouver.
Mm.
So I go to and it couldn't be my friend. It had to be me because it was locked under my name.
Oh,
you
no.
know. So I go back to the America side and I said, hey, I need to get my pistol back. And they're like, we've been waiting for you. And I said, what's going on? He says, well, this pistol was used in a robbery.
What?
No, I'm not lying to you. My wife can back all this up. She was right there. So guess who goes back in the cell? Now I'm in the cell on the American side. And at this point, I'm thinking, I just want to kill my friend. I told him, I said, just throw it away. He says, no, this gun was used in a robbery. And I said, are you kidding me? And so I gave him my friend's name. I said, he's in the military, blah, 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 blah. And anyway, they had said something to the effect of, we need to hang on to this revolver until we get things situated. And I said, well, wait a minute. The gun that I gave you is a semi-automatic. It's not a revolver. And the guy kind of stopped and looked at it. Anyway, long story short, they had ran the serial number wrong.
Oh, my heavens.
This whole time, they were waiting for me to come back and claim it so they could put me in jail for a bank robbery that had occurred when they had ran the serial number wrong. So anyway, long story short, I missed my flight home. I told my wife, get home to the kids, take care of them. I'll stay here and rot in this jail in Canada. But I got home finally. So I never, ever take a pistol into Canada, ever.
No.
Word to your mother.
That is crazy. That is a crazy story.
That was a crazy time of my life.
You have crazy airplane stories. I mean, I have a few, but yours are like, one time when you land in the airplane and it stops and you know the beeps in the plane, and then you see the light, you unbuckle your seatbelt, you can get up. Well, when you're on the outside, what happens is you hear the motors going down, and then there's a blue light, and the blue light goes off. And that means that you are free to run behind the jets, and nothing will happen. Well, I was working late at night, and decided I would help unload the bags for them so they could get out early. And so I had these big chocks. They're about 100 pounds, and I flipped them over my shoulders, and the engines went down. But I didn't pay attention to the blue light. And so there's a guy at the front of the plane, and then there's two of us on the sides that are going to go chock the plane. So go bebopping behind the jet, and this happens.
Oh no.
But the pilot decided to
oh, no.
turn them back on. And so I am behind this blast of wind, and it picks my whole body, and I'm not a little lightweight. It picks me up, and everything started coming off. My ear stuff, my vest, everything is coming off my body as I'm flying like Mary Poppins. And I'm flying to the back of this 737, and my feet are off the ground. And it started to flip me upside down, so I remembered thinking, you know, protect the noggin, protect the noggin. So I put my hand down, and when I landed, I felt it. So he camels down to me, and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, tell him to turn the jets off. So he camels back, and he's like, cut the engines. And then I hopped up, knew everything was broken, and I said to this kid, you got to take me to the hospital. I know what's wrong with me. And he was just like looking at me, and I'm like, keep talking to me too, because I'm going to throw up too. Oh, and he was just like, oh my gosh. So the secret to those little things is don't jump up from your plane. You know, wait till everything's turned down. And the pilots came and visited me the next morning. They felt so bad. It wasn't their fault. I mean, I'm the one that went behind the jet and lost all my credentials, my clothes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know. What about that time, though, that you decided to do a good deed for a lady that you knew? And that it was, I think it was in Provo area or something. You went up with a buddy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, in his private plane. We're not going to go there, are we? You got to go there. You got to go there. It's my favorite story of yours.
Okay, so I'm going to leave out every name that I are associated with this for the sake of the poor people.
Good
involved.
Idea.
But this was a story that happened to me back, oh my heavens, it was several years after my mission. So we're probably talking around the year 2000, 2001. Anyway, I got to know this lady on my mission, and she was always intrigued with the Rocky Mountains. She wanted to come and see them. She had heard about them. She had never been out of the great state of Oklahoma her whole life. So anyway, when I returned home off my mission, we lived on a ranch there in central Utah. And she wanted to come down and see the place. So we brought her out here, and she just fell in love with this place. She fell in love with the mountains of Utah. And she just kept talking about, you know, I've lived in Oklahoma my whole life. I just love the mountains. I love them. So anyway, we're getting ready to put her on the airplane, send her back to Oklahoma. And she's older. I mean, she's probably in her 70s at this point. And she turns to me and she says, Travis, I want you to make me a promise. Uh-oh. And I said, what's that? She says, when I die, I want you to spread my ashes over that big mountain right there in Provo, the one that has the Y on it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I had never ever been asked that. You know, what do you do with someone's ashes? And I, you know, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm happy to do that for you. And so I just thought that she had forgot. And anyway, we didn't talk for a while. Well, I get this phone call several years later from her niece, saying that, hey, she had passed on, and in her will, the ashes are supposed to come to you to spread in on the mountains.
Oh,
and,
no.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So anyway, big day came. The family came all out to Utah to see this happen. So I called a friend of mine that has a little plane, and I asked him for the favor, would you mind flying me over the mountains up there? We need to spread this lady's ashes. And he thought that was kind of crazy, but it's all right. We're up for an airplane ride, right?
Sure.
So I hadn't had any experience with an urn or ashes or anything like that. And so we take off. The family's sitting there at the airport there in Provo, and it's just a beautiful view of the mountain there, and they could see us up there. And we go up there and getting ready to spread her ashes. And I just asked the pilot, and I said, how do these windows work? And it's on this little plane, you just pushed them out and they kind of stuck up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I open the urn and I'm getting things ready there. And I go to dump the ashes out of the plane. And MJ, I cannot describe to you what the next few seconds were like. It was like the cockpit burst into black smoke. This poor lady, millions of pieces of her got sucked right out of the airplane and then came right back in the airplane. And so I'm sitting there listening to the pilot going, what the? I can't see. And from the ground, they were saying it looked like the airplane was on fire. We're just leaving this trail of black smoke coming out the windows. And of course, I can't breathe. I'm inhaling bits and pieces of my dear friend. She's stuck in my teeth, my eyes, up my nose. This is so horrible. It's so horrible. But if you knew the lady, I know that this was just her getting back at me for something. So anyway, we did not dare go back to the airport because we were black. I mean, you could see like this huge, wherever my face was, wherever my sunglasses were white, but everything else was black. And so I told the pilot, no. Don't you dare land. We have got to do something here because the family's waiting there at the airport for us.
Oh, dear.
And so we're up there and we're just shaking things. And I'm like patting him down and brushing it out of his hair, but he could not see his altimeter. All of his instruments were black. It was so bad, MJ. But anyway, we did the best we could.
Oh my goodness.
We get down, we land, and bless the family's heart. They had to have known what happened, you know, but they were really good. We gave each other hugs and away we went. Well, anyway, I get back in my truck and I look in my rearview mirror as I'm pulling out and my teeth are black. Oh my heavens, I just cringe every time I think of that. And so, long story short, you know, a few years later, I'm talking to my buddy, the pilot, and he says, Travis, he says, I can't tell you how many flights I have flown in that, and still I am cleaning my altimeter and all that, because every time I fly, more dust comes out.
No. So
it's just horrible.
That is awesome.
Isn't that great?
That is a funny story. You always have pearly whites. That must have been devastating.
It was horrible.
The Osmonds are known for their teeth.
It was horrible.
That is the funniest story ever.
Yeah. It's a pretty funny story.
I love it.
Yep. See this little Cessna airplane going through Provo, Utah with black smoke billowing out the windows, can't you?
And these two guys.
These two guys, they're oh no, don't breathe. Don't breathe.
That's the best.
Anyway.
Well, folks, if you want to give us any ideas that you'd like to hear on our podcast, let us know. We would love to hear from you and some of your stories, and we will be giving you stories every other week. And
yep, we're geared up to do this for a while now. We're going to be talking about anything and everything. And so if you do have some ideas you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear from you and we'll cover them. And we'll try to make it as entertaining and as fun as we can for you.
Have a great day.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us for the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker on SVI Media. To suggest topics or reach out to Travis and Mary Jo, email WYS@SVINews.com. That's WYS@SVINews.com. And be sure to follow Why Your Story on Facebook. Stay tuned for the next Why Your Story podcast on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app.